Yo, we got the Full Metal Jacket rap. Take over your area. Amateurs, get back in the house. You know you're scared of the official rhyme. Killing spree, the chemistry will bury ya. And we get props from Los Angeles to Bulgaria. Full Metal Jacket rap. Take over your area. Amateurs, get back in the house. You know you're scared of the official rhyme. Killing spree, the chemistry will bury ya. And we get props from Los Angeles to Bulgaria.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Danny. This is Cindy's birthday party. I'm here with my man, Big E, and with Zay, and our special guest today, Steve Lowry. Just want to say, too, that the song that you've heard on our intro is actually from Soup the Chemist and MERS, and it is called Ego Trippin'. So the whole album is dope, but definitely we wanted to put something on there. It kind of goes to what Steve was saying earlier about some of the Christian artists on the West Coast and how they have really kind of just, you know, you got MERS, who's a secular artist,
right,
but he's worked with these guys on a regular basis. Right. So we had kind of left off on the last segment. We were talking about some of the Christian rappers from the early 90s, Steve. But one thing I wanted to ask you is if you could kind of expound on how it is for you as a born-again Christian and also a lover of hip-hop, and how you have to, you know, the struggle that you may have and that others like you may have when it comes to dealing with rap music. And also, you know, how you reconcile that with your faith.
Okay, I mean, great question. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, early on, man, it was a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's with anything you go into new, I don't care whether you are 5%er, Nation of Islam, you know, Christianity, what have you, it's new. Mm-hmm. So there are nuances that are there. There are some things that are created by other people that set up barriers for you that shouldn't exist.
Right.
Some thous and thuses that shouldn't be there.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I went through that earlier. I got a love for this. It's a good thing I was introduced to this a lot earlier, even before I got born again.
Right.
But still, how am I gonna, cause hey, in the 90s, early 90s, as I spoke when Freestyle Fellowship hit the scene, I love Freestyle Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to still be able to listen to Freestyle Fellowship?
We talk about the album Inner City Griots all the time, you know, by the way.
He'll tell you, I'm a big Hyrule fan. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Casual is one of my favorite MCs, bar none.
A-plus, OPO from Souls of Mischief.
You're right.
And he think he raw. You know, I'm going to listen to that, you know.
Right.
So
it was
about it first, man. It was, and just being straight up from my heart, there are many times that I would go to bed feeling guilty for no reason.
Hmm.
The best part about it was that, well, the thing that helped me out the most with that was actually being able to meet guys who were like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I met some dudes. I met this dude in the mall, Mike Dalvin, shout out, because I'm going to send you a link to this. I met him in the mall, 1992, with my girlfriend in Oak Tree.
Oak tree.
Not the oak tree.
Oh, on top of that, had just talked to Stuart Scott.
Wow.
Because he was the anchor down there in Orlando.
Wow. He was in there buying suits.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
And I met this dude, man, and he was like, man, there's something different about you. And we just started talking, and big hip hop cat. And he came from he's out of New York. He was with a crew, UB MCs. Mike, I might be getting it wrong, but I'll get them the correct information after this. But he was with a group earlier, so of course somebody else coming in.
So, and this was a Christian hip hop group?
No.
Oh, just traditional hip hop.
Okay. Yeah. End up getting born again later. UBMC, something like that. But he ended up introducing me to some other cats he knew, who went to Benny Hinn's church when Benny Hinn was down there.
Right.
Slap him with the jacket like Benny Hinn.
So think about this now. Consider white church. Yeah, Benny Hinn's not white, but still considered more of a white church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They got a place for their kids.
Mm.
They got an outlet for their kids. My church don't have an outlet. I got a job at the church. If it weren't for my granddad, who was a deacon, making them stand at their word, we had to bid for the job. I won the bid as the janitor.
Wow.
They didn't want me to have the job.
Hmm.
And I would go in there and clean up on Saturdays what I was playing throughout the church.
Wow.
While I'm cleaning up. If it weren't my granddad, the great Weldon Franklin Sr. standing behind me, because they was terrified.
Right.
And my grandmother, Martha Franklin, they kind of left me alone. Mm. But you would hear little stuff.
And you would be in the church while you were on this job, cleaning up, listening to Christian hip hop.
You know, you hear the stuff in the background, and devil music. And I'm like, dude, y'all out here smoking, y'all out here hitting everything that walk,
right?
And that's one thing that I never really understood. You want about some music, right? And not to be too political, but it turns people off sometimes.
It does.
When you see that people being so judgmental and being hypocritical at the same time, mm-hmm. it's like. You know, the law. I'm not going to sit here and proclaim that I'm the biggest Christian in the house.
Right.
But I do know God's words was like, don't leave none of that. It's not none of my place to judge anybody in here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I only judge people from the context of their character or how they treat me.
Right.
And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Anything other than that, bro, like, you do.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Jose, because I think that the judgmental aspect, and Steve, you'll be able to say yourself, but that's what you felt guilty about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was what made you feel guilty.
You was made to feel guilty.
You were made to feel guilty, man. Yeah. Think about it. You were made to, there are sets, whether it's dealing in Christianity, you know, it could be in any, you know, any other faith, that they have, again, their dues. And their dues are not in accordance with whatever they believe in.
Right.
Fundamentalism, I think, is what gets people in trouble of all faiths.
Right, right.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's just, I mean, I don't know, not to get into a conversation strictly on religion, because this is about hip-hop, but as it relates to hip-hop, you can see how that would cause a conflict, definitely. Yes.
Hey, think about this. Just in hip-hop general, how many people have said that's not real music?
Right.
Yes.
Or has it have a melody? Oh, we got a melody. It has to have. Oh, we got that.
Yeah.
We got.
Yeah, because that, you know, that is so. Man, that used to be one of the things they used to say about rap music in the 80s. There's no melody, so it can't really be music.
Right.
That was definitely one of the things I used to hear all the time. Rock groups would criticize rap music on those levels.
Right.
Yep.
You know?
We can even go so far as to say that. Under the genre of hip hop, like why even call it Christian hip hop or why call it gospel hip hop? It's all under the same umbrella.
It's the same
what I'm saying?
It is.
And just going back to something I said earlier, I always give the younger generation credit for seeing that in our generation and just taking away that label. All in general, it's like the sort of things that they do in hip hop. They do it. They call it hip hop, but that's just what it is. Yeah. So if you want to rock long hair, long dreads, and you want to rock a suit, that's hip hop now. That's the way it is. There were labels on everything. You know what I'm saying?
And that is true. And I think that, you know, as human beings, I think we tend to put labels on things anyway.
Yes.
And I think that we like to categorize things.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is gospel rap. This is gangster rap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is conscious rap.
Right.
This is, you know, we all remember there was a time when De La Soul and Tribe and the whole Native Tongues movement first came around. They was calling that hippie rap.
Yeah, yes. Right. Sure did. Yes.
Which is, in retrospect, is silly, because if you go back and listen to anything from De La Soul and Tribe now, you may have thought of it that way when it first started, but you certainly didn't think of it that way by album 2, 3, 4, etc.
Because the words that they were spitting were just average, everyday words, things that we've done in our life anyway.
But because they dressed a certain way.
Yes. I was going to say, I never thought of it that way from the jump. It was always just hip-hop, and they just were, you know, doing things a little different fashion-wise.
Right. And you're right, because it was really more about how they looked, Eric, more so than what they were saying.
People were more concerned about, because they were getting away from the, you know, the kind of tough look that we saw with Run DMC and other rappers back then. You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's – so then, Steve, would you say that – do you think that Christian rap or Christian rappers have been kind of – do you think that's hurt them somewhat, from a commercial standpoint, because the fact that rap music has always been portrayed as being something that is rebellious and – anti-establishment, and so to be a Christian in the minds of many, well, you certainly can't be anti-establishment.
Yeah, right.
However, I can tell you that if you listen to some of the groups he mentioned, Tunnel Rats, you listen to Gospel Gangsters, they're pretty much anti-establishment.
Right.
they're just dealing with a different establishment. Their establishment may be organized religion as we have always known it,
right,
and how they relate to it. But because they're still talking about Jesus, people right. don't necessarily see them as that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And to go even deeper into it, I would say with any child who lacks the backing of their parents, there's going to be your plight is going to be a lot tougher.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So,
absolutely.
Since the church wasn't backing you to where you came from, how do you expect to have more backing in the world?
Right.
Crazy part about it, you did have more backing in the world. Mm-hmm. But imagine if your parent show up to your baseball game with you as opposed to just your coach and your neighbor.
Right.
Mm. Your coach supports you. Your neighbor supports you. Mm-hmm. But, boy, it means so much more
when
your parents are there. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing. Because, I mean, we can go on. Let's say, remember the Source had the grits in the Source.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And that was in Disguise was in the Source. That's mm-hmm. how I heard
and,
about it.
And that grits, it wasn't from – it was from their first album. It wasn't from Factors of the Seven. And Fast 7 is a beast.
Let's back up again because you know you always do this. You start talking about a group, and we have to remember that much of our audience may not know. So give us some background on the Grits and explain.
Grits, Grammatical Revolution in the Spirit. Grits out of Tennessee. Teron, actually, Bonafide, is from Jacksonville.
So it's two MCs in the group.
Yep, and Coffee. Mm-hmm. Coffee, they out of Tennessee. Grits came out of Goatee Records. Which Goatee Records is the infamous DC Talk.
Right.
Wasn't a DC Talk fan. I'm
so not if you blame are for, DC if you're Talk. Familiar with Christian, I don't even want to say hip hop because I don't really like describing DC Talk as a rap
Heaven
group.
Bound.
But they are a pop group.
Yeah, they got into their lane later.
That's a gospel pop group more so, and they have rapped. But that's who he's referring to when he says DC Talk. Yeah. And they were really big. Sold a lot of records, too.
A lot of records. Toby Mac and Toby Mac with production, big. They were dancers, actually, for DC Talk.
Right. So Grits, so they started out as dancers for DC Talk.
Yep. Hmm. And they put out their first, I can't remember the compilation, but it was based in a cafe. It was like an open mic. And they did a couple of songs on that. And their first release came out, and it was, it was sick. I mean, the Source said, Bone put in Back to Mental. Mental Releases was their first release. He said these interplanetarian rappers, at least that's what the Source quotes, resurrecting hip hop to a higher plateau. I mean, that's what the Source said about them. Right. You know, that's in the mid-90s.
That will mean a lot.
It means a lot. I told him a story, KRS-One. SFC performed in New York before KRS-One. Blastmaster came on stage because the people went crazy. Blastmaster came on stage, said, y'all got to do some more songs.
Yes.
That's from the Blastmaster. So they were getting more acceptance on the outside than they were on the inside. Right. And you know that kid.
Because they were dealing with people who just wanted to hear rhyme skills.
Yep. Right. And you know, also psychologically though, because they got their songs. When they talking about being beat up, I mean, with LPG Theory, it's from LPG, that's Journey's cousin,
right,
who's out of the Tunnel Rats. LPG is a staple of Tunnel Rats. But he talked about it, being bumped and bruised.
Yeah.
You know, because you got the battle with the church, and you need that support. And then you going out also, and you dealing with these record labels. Mm-hmm. You have no backing. But yet the world is accepting you a lot more. You know, they got video out there. They got I know LPG did a song with Jupiter from Freestyle Fellowship, Self Jupiter. Sick. Right when he got out of jail. And his whole verse is based on
now when lockdown. LPG got out of jail or when Jupe got out
when
of jail.
When Jupe got out of jail.
Because we know Jupe has been locked up a couple of times.
Yeah, when Jupe got out of jail. One of the times he got out of jail. Love you, Jupe.
Jupe is
You know, you also got if you ever watch Ava DuVernay's first feature, which is, you know, The Good Life, How the West Was Won, you'll see them mention, you know, some of these guys. And Pigeon John, who was featured. Now, Pigeon John comes from Brainwash Projects.
Right.
Brainwash Projects formed in, like, 91. I had the first shirt established in 1991. tell you how I got the shirt. There's this guy called Nolly Williams. Nolly Williams had a magazine back in the day. He started his own Christian hip hop magazine. Had ads in the whole nine. And you could go there to find groups that were putting out EPs and putting out, you know, whatever, merchandise.
What was the name of the magazine?
I can't remember. It was like Christian. It was Christian Hip Hop International or something like that. I can't remember. I even tried looking up. Right now, he's some type of real estate tycoon in Texas. But, and I going further, you know, with the time we have. But I bought their first EP, Alphabetic Kinetics, which was sick. At the time, it was three members. Soda, B Twice, who did most of the beats, and he's a DJ, and he rhymed, and Pigeon John. All these dudes were instrumental in the good life. Soup the Chemist. If you look at it, when they introduced B Hall, when Ava started talking about B Hall, Soup is sitting right there next to B Hall. That shows you how, I mean, Ahmad.
The connection between.
Right, remember Ahmad from back in the day, Ahmad right. Lewis, who was a dope.
Back in
Ahmad,
the day,
him and Soup got a song. What, that Fresh Cold Slang? And they using that cut from Dre, Everybody in Cali Don't Gang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Sick. Sick, sick, sick. But these are the people they were dealing with on a regular basis.
So a lot of the, and it's funny because Soup's name keeps coming up in that. So he goes from being one of the pioneers to when it started, I don't want to say the subgenre is being more accepted, but when they're starting to connect with other artists, a lot of the guys from the Good
yes.
Life Cafe, like you said,
yes.
he's involved again. And so you start to see, like, there's a long-running connection with him and artists associated
yes.
with him and just West Coast underground hip-hop in general.
Right, right.
So, and you mentioned, you made a statement before we actually started recording. You said, because it seems like a lot of gospel rap was more West Coast-driven.
Yes, yes.
For the most part.
A lot more.
And I know you said, too, that... a lot of it, even though there were the pockets on the East Coast, but they were more self-contained as far as they were only dealing with Christian circles.
Right, right.
Whereas the gospel rappers, the Christian rappers on the West Coast were just dealing with
everybody
mm-hmm. at pretty much
right.
at the same time.
Because if you think about if you say you believe what is written, it says going to the world, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What am I in here? I'm not saying that Christian kids don't need stuff. I'm not saying that Christian adults don't need things. But if your primary focus are the people who are already there, you just a club
right.
now.
Because the message is just spread it to yeah. the masses.
Yeah, because like, you're a social club
right,
at that point.
Right.
I mean,
good point.
What
about
Timex social
what are people
club.
Gonna, I mean, the heart's supposed to be for the people. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
And that's one great thing about hip-hop, the culture, is about the people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going after the people, man, really, what are you here for?
Speeches only reaches those who already know about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Andre 3000.
Awesome.
Never heard of it. No, but, you know, when you mentioned Andre, it made me think about something. The first time that I heard Grits, the album that came out in 94,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me a lot sonically of Outkast.
Wow.
Not so much their rhyme style,
right.
but like from a production standpoint,
right,
it had
right.
kind of like that organized noise feel to
right,
me.
Right, right,
and it made me think a lot about Outkast. Are they from Nashville or are they from somewhere else in Tennessee?
Nashville.
They're from Nashville, yeah. So, you know, again, that Southern flavor, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. And they're another group, kind of to me, kind of overlooked like Cunning Linguist.
Mm-hmm.
Super dope, should have more props than they got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bone said, CeeLo's verse on Thought Process was a description of me. You know, because they live that. We live that same.
Right.
You know, we all from this combination of what we call the South.
Right.
And you know, they made reference. They knew, you know, Andre and Big Boy. I mean, I got some pictures from, they was in Vegas a few years ago, and they was with Andre and Big Boy and Sleepy
That's
Brown.
What's up, man.
You know, so these dudes, again, because it's, we got something else in common, this thing that we love the most.
So I know that because they were on DC Talk's label, correct?
Mm-hmm. Goatee Records.
So and DC Talk had a lot of artists that they put out that had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
Did Grits really get a big push on the label? Did they get promoted properly, in your opinion?
And you know what? I think they did. I really think they did. But again, hip-hop, because like Out of Eden, remember Out of Eden? They were the three sisters, the Kimmies, they were singers. Mm-hmm. You know, they were big. They were big in the '90s. You know, they got their push, but again, they were singers.
Mm-hmm. So was it a case of, you know, timing's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come out and you dope lyrically in 1994 as a Christian rapper, you maybe don't get that same level of exposure that somebody who's doing, you know, Christian R&B, for example.
Right, right.
Right. I don't even know if that's a thing, but you know,
contemporary, what they call it, contemporary gospel. Right.
Because the level of acceptance, first of all, in the general society is not the same, and it's certainly not the same within Christian circles. But you know, you made a very strong point about taking that message out to the world, and it just, I don't know, it always makes it more confusing to me on some levels why they would not have been accepted by the people who should have been
tradition, man. Right. Tradition.
But I think that's what it is, tradition. And I think as the generations become younger, you see them slowly going away from those particular traditions.
Because I added caveat. I end up, and I did a, I mean, any way I could help. I'd have been there selling tapes out to Trump. You know, you know, going
selling
doing
to
shows.
Your coworkers for $10.
You know what I'm saying? And dudes not getting paid. You know? But Grits, I got them at World Changes. But it was no problem.
Right.
So you, and let's just back that up a little bit. So Steve is a member of World Changes.
Yes.
At Creflo Dollars Church, for those of you who don't know. And so you were able to get them scheduled to perform at World Changes.
Yeah, they did. It was a big conference week or whatever. And they needed, they wanted somebody new. Hey, man, you know Grits. Oh, yeah. I talked to him, got him set up. And I remember going over to see him. And it was Stacy, who was Coffee. Coffee's like, man, this is the best we ever been treated.
Wow.
And for me to just like.
That's terrible to hear that.
But I've been there, man. Jose, I've been there. I've been on the road with guys. Nuwine, that's another name. I've been on the road with these, and I know how they've been treated.
Right, right.
He's like, man, this is the best. He said, dude, he said, we didn't have to fight about getting paid. They got stuff for us when we get here, everything. Sounds, check, everything is on point. So it's telling, for them, that was against the norm.
Right.
That should be against the norm.
But I'm in that sense, I'm saying it's terrible because this is coming from your own folk. Like, this is your people.
Yep.
And you have to fight about this. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, that his own received him not type of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, I also got him gig at Clark Atlanta for homecoming back in 98.
And I'm pretty sure they was well accepted then.
Oh, yeah.
Because the crowd was more open.
Yep. Yep.
That's
but they loved him. I mean, them two there. Went great for them. They love the way they were received. They love the way they were treated. But that shouldn't be the oddity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That should be expected because if you can have, and I'm not doing this to point fingers at people, but if you can have Donnie McClurkin come in and you got to go to his list, whatever that list is, and you got it all there and accommodate that list to that extent, you should be doing it for these guys as well.
Yes.
Because they're no lesser. And that was the case. Nuwine, Benedict College. Went to Benedict College. Nuwine.
Shout out to Benedict, my mom's alma mater, by the way.
Nuwine. Nuwine is, I wouldn't say he was the best lyrically from Texas, Fifth Ward.
Mm-hmm.
But Nuwine, he was known as storyteller because he tell a story. If you sit in, I done sat many times in the West End with Nuwine, and we just talk for hours. Mm-hmm.
So he was like like Shirley Caesar. But as a rapper.
Dude, his story, hey.
See, I was going to say Ghetto Boys, but.
Well, no, I said Shirley Caesar. You know Shirley Caesar can tell a story.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He can tell stories, man. Nuwine, you know, he got shot in the face. Mm. Shot here, came out back here.
Mm.
Through that complication, spine was kind of bent. So because he's a tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
Nuwine, which I know he said something before. Nuwine is the person that actually bought Iggy Azalea.
Wow.
I think, we did that. He was the one coming.
He had a beef with T.I. for a while because
he
was old money, you know, and I guess they straightened that out.
So let me ask you this. So when we had a conversation a few episodes back about the golden era of hip hop, right? And, you know, a lot of it, we always said, you know, from mid 80s to whatever point in the 90s, when the culture at large, when the genre at large was going through that golden era of great music, commercial viability, everything's just on an upward tick, did gospel rappers feel that, were they able to ride that wave, or because of the issues that they face in their own circles, did they get left out of that in some way?
Well, if you want to talk about props from your peers, yeah. If they, you want to talk about financially, I can't tell you one of these guys who made it financially.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you. I mean, Gospel Gangsters, they had signed a deal with B-Wright, and B-Wright screwed them, and they had a nice deal with B-Wright.
Mm-hmm.
B-Wright had Kirk Franklin, Trinity 5-7, and mm-hmm. somebody else. I can't remember who else was on that. And, you know, it's some lie, and I believe it's some lies that went off. They had some music they supposedly leaked. Like, I know these dudes. Like, that don't sound right. So B-Wright decided, oh, we're going to drop you because you voided the contract. Something crazy. Like, I don't believe that crap, you know.
So, go ahead.
Do you feel that there's is a golden era in your genre of
hip-hop? Definitely, definitely. And that golden era really coincides with the golden era. You know, maybe not the first years, of course.
Right.
Because,
right.
I would give Stephen Wiley and Michael Peace some credit for what they did, but I can't, you know.
Right.
Maybe I'm being more biased or, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's because it started later, the golden era of Christian hip-hop would start later as well.
Right. But I would say the golden era of Christian hip-hop, I would start off with like 89.
Mm-hmm.
But then going on to, which I feel even with hip-hop in general, to like 97.
Right, right.
You know, at least to that time.
So it does coincide in a lot of ways.
It absolutely does. Yeah, so my question also is, who would be on your Mount Rushmore of Christian hip-hop?
First off would be Soup the Chemist.
Soup the Chemist.
First and foremost. Secondly.
No, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
Now, we talking about influential artists also. So that was our Mount Rushmore.
Right. Yeah. So as you mentioned that, I followed you guys.
I got it.
I listen to everything y'all do. And I argue with him.
Yeah, he does.
Because my KRS-One Blastmaster.
So you still ticked about that?
I'm still salty.
My cousin still talked to me about the same thing about Ice Cube. He was mad that we left Ice Cube off, and he was like,
"There are no bad answers."
Soup the Chemist, and as you see in this conversation, his name came up.
Right.
So his influence, you know, throughout to this day, you know, he was at Hyro Day, you know, with Fabby Davis, Mr. Fab, Dope Era stuff on, you know, so these dudes know him.
Right.
So Soup the Chemist. Then I'll go with Peace 586.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now Peace, would Peace as a rapper or more as a producer?
As a producer.
Okay.
And as a, because he rapped too, but because most of these guys are doing a lot of stuff on their own.
You know
what I mean? Okay. It was like you had to.
You had multiple hats.
Right. And next would be Journey Big.
Because
dudes are trying to rap like Journey. If you go and listen to dudes are trying to rap like Journey, I don't care where you would go, I'd show up places, and it was Journey.
Mm.
And you knew it was biting Journey stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say Pigeon John.
Pigeon John.
I knew you were going to say that.
The dude got commercials.
Only because I've talked to you so much over the years, and I know, you know, Pigeon John's name comes up so much when we have these types of conversations. So I knew that Pigeon John was going to – actually, honestly, knowing you as well as I do, I'm surprised he didn't come up first.
Wow.
Honestly.
Well, so who would you compare Pigeon John to as, you know, from a more, I guess, open artist, whatever you
– It's hard, man.
So you're saying his style is pretty much
– If you hear Pigeon
maybe
John –
Maybe that's one of the things that puts him on the Mount Rushmore.
I've heard of him.
Pigeon John is like – he's just – he's crazy.
Okay.
He's weird. He's just...
Now, if it's the song I'm thinking of with the beat, dun 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 dun, that's one of my favorite joints.
He's just his own thing. He's like,
right, his flow is very
it's different.
Yeah, I love it actually. Yeah, that's always been my favorite song.
He's his own dude.
And I guess being his own dude is why he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe if he was...
What makes it more unique in that sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've always loved artists that didn't sound like other artists. You know what I'm saying?
Just like me, I don't sound like no other artists.
You don't sound like that.
You don't sound like no other artists.
Nobody we know.
Yeah, man.
For those who heard me sing last week and they know about my fine, silky, falsetto voice...
Hopefully your ears are recovering now from that.
You realize my
Danny trying to come out with the melodious
talent.
Voice in the famous words of Mr. Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, melodious voice. Yeah. Right.
But yeah, but that's and I'm glad you asked that question, Zay, because
that's a great question.
Mount Rushmore of Christian rap, that's something I had not even thought about. But I guess, you know, because we all love lists and that sort of stuff. Yeah, so that's always good. You had another question as well.
I had another one. I'm trying to let Eric, like, you know, I'm trying to give him the heads up. Like, bro, like, I'm doing all the talking. I want you to say something. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
You won't give me a chance. I'm joking with you, man. Look, I have questions. I like to let people just, like, flow with it. I'm a listener. Right. First and foremost, so I'm getting a great history lesson here because I don't have a background on Christian hip-hop at all.
Right.
In fact, I do have a question. I was wondering, what would you say to our listeners out there who are interested in getting more into Christian hip-hop?
Because that's a great question.
It is, from what I've heard you play just in here, dope beats, dope lyrics, but it is difficult to convince people who are sort of caught up with, you know, what we talk about today in hip hop. So
that's a great question, Eric, and we're gonna save that for our next segment.
See how you do, man? Cut me off. I get cut off. I get put on.
I didn't even see that coming, Eric.
Folks, so we are going to end this segment, and we're gonna come back with our third and final segment, and we're gonna lead off with Eric's question, and we're gonna give our.
I may not even remember my question. Man, you got to catch me when it's in my mind. Man.
We're gonna give our esteemed guest Steve Lowry a chance to answer that question.
Right. No doubt.
Yo, we got the Full Metal Jacket rap. Take over your area. Amateurs, get back in the house. You know you're scared of the official rhyme. Killing spree, the chemistry will bury ya. And we get props from Los Angeles to Bulgaria. Full Metal Jacket rap. Take over your area. Amateurs, get back in the house. You know you're scared of the official rhyme. Killing spree, the chemistry will bury ya. And we get props from Los Angeles to Bulgaria. I got something to show you. It's about how...